Before the Cherokee people were forced from their lands in the eastern United States along the Trail of Tears, the tribe grew varieties of crops now nearly lost. State Impact's Logan Layden visits the Cherokee Nation Seed Bank, where a vital part of the tribe's history is kept frozen.
You might have heard of the Global Seed Vault, deep underground on a Norwegian island in the remote Arctic. Varieties of seeds from all over the world are kept safe there from worldwide natural disaster or nuclear catastrophe, according to a 2010 BBC documentary.
This is apocalypse planning for our future survival.
You know, this is a giant vault, but in a way it's the modern equivalent of a Noah's Ark, except that instead of sheltering animals, it's preserving the future of the world's food supply.
For the Cherokee Nation of Oklahoma, the apocalypse already happened. Since first contact with Europeans and then removal to Oklahoma, the crops the tribe once ate and used in rituals have become more and more rare, until, that is, about 10 years ago. That's when the Cherokee Nation started scouring the country for genetically pure examples of plants that are important to its culture. Today, the fruit of that labor is stored in a nondescript freezer in a closet at the Cherokee Nation's headquarters in Tahlequah.
And you're going to have to like walk like this and over stuff to get to where we're going.
No problem.
Cherokee Nation biologist Pat Gwynn helps maintain the seed bank. He also releases a trickle of the seeds every year to tribe members who want to grow them.
All of these black plastic bags are full of seeds ready to be shipped. In actuality, the seed bank actually consists of what's in this box here. This little bitty box has about 50 different varieties of seed.
Only the highest quality seeds stay in the bank.
This is the best genetics. So you see this, like we have, there's probably about 40 gallons of Cherokee White Eagle corn down there. That's what we grew this last year. What we will do is we will pick probably the best 100 milliliters of that seed and place it in this box here. So this is actually the seed bank. What you see down here is this is the excess that we'll distribute to our folks.
Gwynn says there's another seed freezer in another location in case a tornado blows this building away. Outside, in the garden along Highway 62, Gwynn cultivates rare plants like redroot, river cane, and New Jersey tea. He grows them in planters shaped into culturally significant symbols.
These are all pre-1492.
Yeah.
You know, before European contact, these were integral components of our culture. This also signifies the wind, but as you can see, it has a counterclockwise swirl to it.
Gwynn says redroot is the rarest of the plants here.
We grow this because it's been pretty much extirpated from Oklahoma. It was picked into extinction. It was always rare. As I said, it's needed by virtually all Cherokee cultural ceremonies. The interesting thing about it is the trees come in male and female. This is a male male tree. Mm-hmm. We were never able to locate a female tree until about 2 years ago. This is the female tree which we just transplanted Friday.
Cherokee Secretary of State Chuck Hoskins says it's the staple crops, varieties of beans, corn, and squash, that are most popular with tribe members today. More than 3,500 seed packets were distributed in 2016. Hoskins says the program's popularity is growing because Cherokees want to connect to the life ways of their ancestors.
I think people generally are more interested today about where food comes from and growing their own food. And if you're a Cherokee and you can combine this interest in where food comes from and growing your own food with a connection to your culture and your history, I think it becomes very powerful.
There's an old Cherokee saying, "No self-respecting Cherokee would ever be without a corn patch." Back at the garden, Pat Gwynn says that doesn't refer to the perfect cobs of golden yellow corn at the grocery store. It's varieties like Cherokee White Eagle corn, the first seed planted here a decade ago.
That's how we started.
Wow. Okay, and you've been able to try about, you know, dozens of different varieties by now.
It started with one seed, and that was Cherokee White Eagle corn, which is the one I gave you.
I'm not Cherokee, but Gwynn gives me a packet anyway. It's a perk of my job. Distribution is generally limited to Cherokee citizens who get to choose up to two varieties of plants. Seeds are sent out from February through April, but the most popular plants go quickly. For State Impact, I'm Logan Layden.
State Impact is a collaboration of NPR member stations in Oklahoma. You can find more online at stateimpact.npr.org, also at kgou.org under the link for State Impact.